Something Like Tennis by William Andrew.
Oh, what a careless shot, Joan.
How's the match going?
They are about to break Joan's very first service. That's how it's going.
Aren't you going over to the clubhouse?
Of course, that girl should never have been selected. I should have stood my ground about that, in spite of what people might think.
Watching tennis matches from bedroom windows is strictly for old ladies, Carol.
I'll go later. Oh, Robert, come and see.
You know it doesn't mean much to me.
Right. Go to the net, girl. Go now. Now. Oh, no, the stupid bitch.
Suffering?
What else can one do? That's love 40 on her service now. You remember this girl, don't you? She beat me in the Festival Cup last year.
Oh, was that the game in which you fell and sprained your back?
Don't make it sound like a middle-aged alibi, please. Normally I would have whipped her. You know I was laid up for weeks after it. But that was why I couldn't object to her selection. People would think I was... Now, last chance, Joan. Robert, come and watch this.
I'm dressing, Carol. Oh,
you're decent enough to come to the window. Watch this first service. Always ludicrously ambitious. Ready? Wham! There it goes, almost burst the net.
You don't like that girl, Carol.
You think that?
She wears tight shorts.
They all do. It's how to make sure of being selected when the committee has a majority of middle-aged men. Now, here's service number two. Weak as water. Watch the arm. That's it. There was a foot fault, too.
I thought you were on refreshments for this match.
I am, but there are three others I won't be missing.
You will be if the three others see you watching from the window.
So I'll go over later, Robert. Perhaps not.
What's wrong, Carol?
I don't know. Funny mood, that's all.
God help us. Not another one.
Oh, I give you a very bad time, don't I?
Very.
I do too, sometimes.
Nonsense.
But I do think you should go and help at the tennis club.
Are you trying to get me out of the house?
Yes, I have plans to rape Anita Brown before the astonished eyes of her older brother. Now, cravat with this sweater, do you think?
No, Robert. Cravats are terribly elderly. Mm. I think just a sexy glimpse of the collar of your pretty shirt.
How's that?
Delectable. When is little orphan Anita coming?
I told you, about 7:30.
Well, you better hurry up and make yourself beautiful.
Oh, is that what I'm doing?
So it seems. Now, shoes. Let me see if I can help you choose the right pair.
You know, you're being a bit of a coward
at the moment. Am I? Those, Robert. Oh, undoubtedly. Those give you that Mr. Generation look that you're wanting.
Thank you.
And what is little orphan Anita studying tonight?
Chaucer. You know, calling her that isn't very funny, Carol. It's not very kind.
I'm only prompting you to tell me again about her tragic home background. I've grown very attached to her tragic home background. Brave Anita and her self-sacrificing brother. Robert, I'm sorry. Give me a little time and this will pass. I don't know what started it. Robert.
Yes?
In school, do you ever find yourself afraid of your pupils?
Afraid? I wouldn't last long in a classroom if I were afraid.
I don't mean as a teacher. I mean as a person. That they're young and they're sharp and you're getting older. And there are so many of them.
I'm always reassured by the fact that I know more than they do.
Oh, knowing has nothing to do with it. Knowing more is no defense at all. I mean, they are sharper. And somehow they're menacing. It's like a war.
Look, where is this coming from, Carol?
And it's a war we're bound to lose.
Carol, has this to do with a tennis club? Has something happened?
No, you won't lose your war, Robert. Anyway, forget it. Hell, I've lost track of the score.
If you go across, you'll find out the score.
You are trying to get me out of the house.
I don't think you should brood up here, that's all I'm saying.
This isn't the first time I've had a pupil here for tuition.
Oh, not by a long chalk. Chalk, listen to me. No, Robert, you're a dedicated man. I'm proud of you.
I take a pride in my work. I don't want you to pin medals on me.
And you're always so scrupulous about having a chaperoning relative present.
Well, that's only common sense.
And quite often these pupils have sad, sad stories. 6 months illness, recent bereavement, or just arrived in Britain and no speaking a language so good. Or, and this makes me so proud, you are the only member of staff who realizes that this child has genuine intelligence. Odd how many pretty girls you've discovered who have marvellous untapped intelligence.
Well, what are you saying, Carol?
I'm not saying anything. Just that most of your lame ducks are beautiful swans. Beautiful maidens.
Would you rather they were beautiful boys?
I don't think so. Robert, you'll comb your hair right out. You do know, don't you, that the contrived youthful effect is very aging. At least so my hairdresser told me. I was terribly pleased.
Carol, just leave me alone.
Never mind, Robert, you're looking very attractive. The Orflings will see at once that you are one of their generation, underneath it all.
Not a very funny mood.
I'm sorry, you're right. You always play so fair, too. There are a number of things you could bring up.
I don't have your tussling attitude to conversation, though.
I think you ought to go across to the club.
And get this mood off on somebody more deserving. Bitch Margot Turnbull about her sandwiches. Or I could ask Tight Pants Joan how her service games went tonight, as if I hadn't seen them.
If that would help, or you could hit your head off the wall a few times before you go and see if that helps.
You know it's all envy, don't you?
Oh, that's right, envy.
You can face young people. I can't.
Don't start thinking you can't face them, Carol. It won't help. Look, that's them now. Why don't you come down and meet them? They're nice kids.
I've met them, Robert.
You've opened the door to them once.
Well, come and meet them properly. Give them a glass of lemonade or something. I'll give them a quarter of an hour extra at the end of the lesson. Now, come on.
This is delicious cake, Mrs. Walton. Did you make it yourself?
I'm afraid not, Anita. I bought it. Would you like another slice?
Oh, no, thank you. But it was very nice. My mother used to make cherry cake. Do you remember, Barry?
Yes, I do. Made it Saturday morning. It was usually finished by Sunday.
I've tried it, but very unsuccessfully.
It was very good.
He's being loyal, I'm afraid.
You know, my husband has told me a lot about you, too, and I think you're marvellous, the way you've faced up to everything. I admire you both very much.
Yes. My wife often does bake, but usually it's for the tennis club next door. I never seem to get a look in.
Oh, that's too bad,
oh,
sir.
I'm very badly done to.
I can see that.
Are those your trophies in the showcase in the hall, Mrs. Walton?
Yes, I'm afraid they are.
There are a lot of them.
Yes, there are.
Do you play, sir?
No. I'm afraid I was always spectator and supporter. My wife's interest in the game started before we met.
Do either of you play?
No. I'd love to. I like watching it. I love Wimbledon on television.
It's a beautifully graceful game when it's played well, isn't it?
Very tiring, I should think.
Not if you're fit.
Not if you're fit and young.
Oh?
Well, I think you and I should get on with some work, young lady.
Yes, sir.
Books out. Come along.
I'll clear these away and leave you to it. It's been nice meeting you both.
You are going to the club?
I'll see. I may rest first.
Barry, how would you like to take a wander around the garden with my wife before you settle down to watch us working?
But he has books of his own to study, Robert.
Well, I'm sure he's looking for an excuse to leave them, aren't you, Barry?
Yes. Yes, that would be very pleasant.
Haven't you exams to work for?
Not for weeks.
Oh, Barry.
But a couple of weeks. You're right, Mr. Walton. It's too good an evening to waste.
I mean, it's not as if there's much to see in the garden. It's quite immoral, Barry, isn't it, my husband sending me away with a young man?
In what way? Shall we go?
I'll just take...
No, leave the tray. Anita and I can nibble away at cake while we're struggling with Chaucer. Go on, Carol.
Oh, we're being ordered out.
So it seems. Barry is studying economics, so you might pick up a tip or two for the housekeeping.
Thank you, Robert. Excuse us, Anita.
And you have a tennis club right next door.
Yes, we have. We chose it specially. Actually, the wall is too high to let us see the quartz, but I can watch from the bedroom upstairs. But I won't take you there. You might think I was going to seduce you.
No, I wouldn't. You said you chose this house because of its closeness to the tennis club. That amazes me.
Oh, we've done worse than that. We used to plan our holidays to take in as many of the club tournaments as possible, all over the country. Disgraceful, really. No, actually, it was great fun.
Did you ever play at Wimbledon?
I was asked twice. Out in the first round, both times, I'm afraid. I learned from that I was a good club and county player and no more.
You didn't like learning that?
Well, no.
Got a thing about winning?
Why else does one play?
Do you find it carries over to other things?
What?
The need to win. I've always thought that there was a philosophy of competition, on a tennis court or dealing with people or in business. I don't understand it.
Really? And it's a waste of energy?
That's right. We could sit down here for a few minutes.
You're at university now, aren't you?
I am.
And you're studying economics. What a lot of people study economics nowadays. Soon the world is going to be peopled by starving economists.
Why did you say that?
I don't know. Just the idea of all the experts never managing to solve the problems of the planet and finding themselves...
No, but why say it? Don't you see why you said it?
I was trying to make polite conversation.
All right.
I suppose you'll have a wide choice of careers when you get your degree.
I hope so.
I'm sure in your circumstances you'll want to start earning as soon as possible. How could two people be so unfortunate? Your mother being killed in that accident. Your father in hospital, so ill.
Die.
I know. I'm sorry. Yours is all the credit for keeping Anita with you.
I've had a lot of help from aunts and uncles and from the authorities.
I still think it's wonderful.
Thank you very much. I am suitably crushed.
Crushed?
You won that point.
What are you talking about?
I wonder if you know you're doing it.
Doing what?
What do you call a long exchange of shots in tennis? It's a rally, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was your rally.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You didn't play absolutely fair, of course. There's no reply to being patronised like that. No polite reply, that is.
Patronised? I was merely congratulating you on having kept your parents home together, as I'm sure they would have wished you to do.
That was the last point. Is it my turn to serve?
Well, Barry, I thought this was going to be a wearing conversation, but I didn't think it was going to be unintelligible.
My service. Tell me, did your husband go with you on all your trips to tournaments?
When they fell during the school holidays, yes.
And he didn't mind?
No, he liked watching me play. He liked when I won.
What about if you lost?
He didn't mind.
An ideal companion, really.
Yes, he was. Make fun of it if you want. It was particularly understanding of him since he didn't play himself. It's a pity you don't play. You know, you have the build for it. With a bit of patience, I'm sure you could be quite...
Your husband is very well thought of at school.
And so he should be.
Anita tells me he's very well liked by the pupils. He makes them all feel that they can come and talk to him about their problems.
Is there something wrong with that?
Mind you, they have a nickname for him. Teaser Walton. Now, that's what the girls call him. Because of the interest he takes in the more attractive girls. In their problems, I mean. I suppose it's natural enough to prefer to help the prettier
ones.
Are
you saying that his interest in them is not totally innocent?
I know it's innocent, or I wouldn't be out here with you. Teaser Walton.
There are worse nicknames?
Anita tells me the girls all know who his pets are, and they discuss it together. They even see a kind of pattern to it. When he's been showing too much interest in one girl, he gives her hell for a day or two till she breaks down. That's all they've got to do, break down, and then he's all over them.
What do you mean, all over them?
Oh, nothing improper.
Well, if you have to talk to me about this at all, choose your words more carefully. I find it very amusing that you feel you need to say all this to me. I was dreading having to talk to you, but now I'm quite enjoying it. See if you can dredge up anything else about poor Robert's behaviour that will shock me.
No, there's nothing shocking about it. At first, when Anita came home with these tales, I was a bit worried, but one look at your husband...
That's right, one look at him shows the kind of man he is. I think it's very silly of these girls to chatter about him, and very adolescent of you to mention it to me. Do you like our roses? These are Robert's pride and joy. I like this garden when there's no tennis on. The wall helps to hold the heat.
You're defending very well.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But this business of Teaser Walton. When I thought about it more deeply, I saw there was something pathetic in a man of 40 making up to 15 and 16-year-old girls, no matter how innocently.
Making up to is a nasty phrase.
I started to think there must be something lacking in his life.
Now, that is an impertinence.
You have no children?
No, I have no children.
Was that because of your tennis?
This is none of your business.
No. It's not. I'm sorry. Trophy case instead of nursery. No. I'm sorry.
I think you are too young to understand. A relationship between a man and a woman taken over the years is a very complex thing.
I know. We'll leave that.
I suppose you regard that as your point in this crazy system you have.
Well, yes.
Perhaps we should be going in now.
I don't know much about tennis. Tell me, is it an order to aim the ball straight at an opponent's body, or at the head, or even more vulnerable places?
It's a fine time to ask. It's frowned on, of course. Why?
It is done, then.
Oh, yes.
Are there other unfair things one can do? I mean, obviously, that is the closest you can come to fouling someone, as in soccer. What else is there?
Nothing very terrible. Gamesmanship, really. Taking too long to serve. Unsettling your opponent by questioning decisions.
Did you do that kind of thing?
I suppose I did my share. At a certain level of tennis, one has to, for survival.
There's no punishment?
No, one could be cautioned by the umpire. Yes, I suppose eventually disqualified, though I've never seen it happen. Actually, if one does anything even remotely unfair, one apologizes to one's opponent.
I've learned that one, too. That must be nice. The applause when you play well.
Yes, but it's not what one plays for.
One plays to win.
That's right.
Why aren't you over there playing?
I don't play in matches anymore. I think we will go in now, and I'll leave you to your studies.
Why don't you play anymore?
If you want me to say because I'm too old, all right then, because I'm too old.
Good young players coming up?
That's right, good young players.
Do you ever play them?
Sometimes, yes. Why not?
Ever win?
Skill often tells against brashness.
Oh, now there's a statement.
Do you think we could talk about something else now? I'm very close to losing my temper.
Do you lose your temper when one of the bright young players beats you?
This isn't a case of beating, it's rudeness.
Lack of respect for someone older?
Yes.
Is that what you fall back on?
What?
Good manners demand that they lose to you.
No, I hate that. I hate when they shout, shot, as they deliberately fail to return an easy volley. It's such an insult.
Well, would you like me to remember my manners and respect your age?
No, but...
Well, that's it, isn't it? Either join the fight and risk being beaten, or sit back and let us give way to you. Insult you by letting you win.
But joining the fight is so unfair to us.
I don't see that it is.
We're weakening and stiffening. We're weakened and supplanted. This is a hellish age to be.
You let yourself be supplanted.
Oh, you don't know. You think you see us so clearly. The unfair thing is that we see ourselves even more clearly and cruelly.
Self-pityingly.
Yes, all right, I'll accept that. Because, by God, it's worth pitying. Teaser Walton and his ex-champion wife. Me polishing my trophies while Robert ogles his girl pupils. And if it's pathetic now, what in God's name is it going to be in 10 or 15 years' time?
It is possible to age gracefully.
Is it? There's a stupid thing to say. You damn well try it. It's a war. That's what it is. It's a war against the young, and it's best not to confront them like now, because...
Because then you get beaten.
Well, then you get hurt. Age gracefully. Well, I know I'm not doing it very well. I haven't got used to it. And I know I do set too much store by winning. I envy Robert because he's in a position to control young people and still gain their respect and affection.
Do you try to get it?
Robert's is the only affection I can trust.
What about across there?
No! What kind of affection would that be? Good old Carol always does the sandwiches. Friend to the young players, almost a mother to them. I'd rather die.
Why? It sounds all right.
Rushing up to me when I fall as if I were 80 and fragile with it, when I'm only just...
That might be affection and concern.
Patronizing pity.
But listen to you. You're doing everything you can to make me pity you. And nothing at all to make me like you.
That's because I'm afraid of you.
I've been very rude.
Let's see if you're so bright and cute when you're my age.
I expect I'll be neurotic in some other way.
You're so damned young and confident and cruel. What a thing to say. Do you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to slap your face really hard. A forehand smash.
And that would please you?
Very much.
It would put me in my place.
I doubt it. It wouldn't even win the match, or whatever it is.
Oh, that's over.
On your say-so? Oh, no.
I made a mistake about you.
I'm going to tell you something, just to confirm your idea of how neurotic I am. For a moment back there, when I was hating you very much, I thought of a way of defeating you on the last point. Listen to this. I would undo, not tear, the top of my blouse, and I would rumple my hair and pull my skirt round just slightly, and I would...
Run to your husband crying rape.
No. Walk in, icily polite, and suggest that it might be time that you and your sister went home. Imply it, not state it, you see? Trouble your sister and upset Robert. And yet I would refuse to admit openly that anything happened.
Damage me while making yourself out so decently discreet. Wow. It's very good, isn't it?
I'm afraid it is.
All planned in a split second, too.
Approximately a split second.
Want to try it?
What?
Come on, try it out. I can look as sheepish as you want.
Now, that is unfair, Barry. It's not fair to call my bluff after I've confessed.
It was the counter move, though, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Very quick.
But I shouldn't have played it.
I don't think so, no.
I should have deferred to your age and position.
That's what it sounds like. You have me cornered.
Well, I think I'd better go in and join the Chaucerians before I get more churlish.
Pleased with yourself?
Not really.
What prompted all that? What did I do to rouse someone who alleges he's non-competitive?
I don't know. The way you put us down as brave children in adversity.
That's very sensitive of you.
And your general manner.
Thank you.
And I was prepared to dislike you because of what I'd heard of your husband.
Poor deprived Robert. I asked for it, didn't I? Still, it's been very stimulating, really, doing battle with you.
You've been very sporting about it.
No, I very seldom allowed myself to be anything but sporting, in the eyes of the crowd, at least. But you like me better now.
Yes. Yes, I do. I would apologize for it all, but...
But it might start us up again. Mind you, all my opponents, even in my present decrepitude, have found me most dangerous when apparently defeated.
Well, we'll try again next week, then.
Oh, heavens no. We couldn't make all this happen artificially. I should make a point of being out next week.
I'm sorry about that.
Well, come and we'll return you to your studies. Poor Anita, having to struggle through Chaucer. I remember loathing him.
That's something we have in common, Mrs. Walton. Hello, you two.
Hello.
It's an easy line, Anita. And wedded the Queen Hippolyta and brought her home to his country.
I'm sorry, sir. It was the spelling again. I'm returning your chaperon to you. We had a very pleasant chat, and now I'm going across to do my duty by the tea and cake.
Good. I'm sure they're needing help by now. When Anita and I have finished, I'll join you.
I'll save you a few crumbs. By the way, I've been hearing all about what the kids at school think of you.
Mrs. Walton.
Oh, I hope it was flattering.
I'm not going to tell you. Nor am I going to tell you what your nickname at school is.
No.
Barry, honestly.
Well, I think I know it. It's Wally Walton, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is.
Yeah.
That may be one of them. But it's not the one Barry told me. Barry, I think that's the meanest thing you've ever done.
It must be pretty terrible. No doubt you'll find a suitable time to tell me.
Oh, no. I don't think I could ever tell you. It's too shocking. Now I must dash. The second match has probably started. Cheerio, Anita. And Barry. Sometimes it's worth a caution from the umpire, Barry. See you later, Robert.
In Something Like Tennis by William Andrew, Carol and Robert were played by Eileen McCallum and Paul Kermack, and Anita and Barry by Tricia Scott and Ronald Bain. The play was produced in Scotland by Gordon Emsley.